Return to Camp Blood, Episode 35, The Life and Times of Tommy Jarvis. This episode is brought to you by Friday the 13th Franchise.com.
Jesus Christ. Jason's alive. He killed my friend, now he's coming for me.
He's got a death curse.
Jason's a legend.
I'm Mrs. Warren, an old friend of the Christies.
Jason belongs in hell.
You're doing it. We can stay here.
Never come back again.
Today is his birthday.
Welcome to another episode of Return to Camp Blood. I'm your host, Chris, joined by my fellow counselors, E.
Howdy, y'all.
Eric.
What's up, y'all?
And Oz.
What's happening, people?
All right, so normally I'd read an ad here, but you guys came through for us. We've met our operating cost goals, and so no more ads will be read until one of you fuckers decides you don't like us anymore. We appreciate everyone who's made this possible. I think it's all two of you. However, that doesn't mean you shouldn't still donate to us, because there are still benefits to be had. Check out campbloodpodcast.com/donate for more info on that. So tonight, we are bringing another Friday the 13th story arc to a close with our favorite moments from what most people dub the Jarvis Trilogy. As we've said many times before, Tommy Jarvis is one of our favorite Friday characters, and so this episode is kind of bittersweet. We're ready to delve further into the series. Well, at least some of us are. Oz is probably like, hey, we could quit now and just go straight to the reboot, and I'd be fine. But, you know, at the same time, we also hate that we have to leave Mr. Jarvis behind. So you guys know the drill from before when we did the Human Jason era. So we'll just kind of jump right into all this with our favorite whatevers. So first on deck, favorite scene. And again, I'll let you guys go first and I'll go last.
You know, my favorite scene, still based on episode 29 with the great Ted White. After hearing his story, bar none, the window scene where Jason jumps through, Kimberly Beck's character Trish and Corey Feldman's character Tommy are standing by a window. Jason comes through and grabs Tommy by the neck.
Yeah.
Epic.
And then proceeds to puke his fucking guts out.
Yes.
Was yeah. that a real hammer?
It was setting up, sir.
Set him up, we'll knock him down.
I thought maybe you would say when he busts through the door and does the John Wayne pose, man.
I'm still scared to go to Horror Hounds because of asking Ted White that. I ought to kill you.
He did threaten to kill you.
Yes. I'll kill you.
So you're the only one that's been threatened to kill by an actual Jason.
I know, right? That's badass.
That is pretty badass.
Wow. Well done, sir.
That's surprising, too, as many times as I've seen Kane Hodder. Maybe if I let him know that Ted White was my favorite Jason, then I may have been threatened as well. I don't know.
I'd say
I don't have the nerve to say it in his company then.
My favorite scene is probably it's probably kind of predictable, but mine's where Tommy kills Jason in part 4. Just the way this, like I said it on the episode too, just the way the scene plays out, it's just really, Corey Feldman was awesome in that scene. I like everything about it, every single part of that scene.
Well, and when he swings that machete, too, and you hear that thud when it hits the head, I mean, that's just...
Uh-huh.
Man.
Yep. Like, they did. They did everything about that scene right, man. Like you said, the sound from the machete, just his appearance, and the way he played it out, just him completely losing his mind.
And again, I mean, that's Tom Savini for you there, man. I mean, he's all about the little details, you know?
Yes. Credit where credit's due.
Yep. You know, it's funny about favorite scene. Eric, up until Eric I would have gone with Eric's here just for the sake of Ted's story about really choking the shit out of Corey Feldman. That was great. But my favorite scene, I think, as far as Tommy goes, I think it has to be honestly the scene where he's at Pinehurst in part five and he wakes up and he's hearing the voices and, you know, he's starting to freak out a little bit and he sees Jason, you know, in the back behind him with the axe and, you know, and he turns around to face him and he's gone. And I mean, and then, you know, he's just, to me, I mean, I felt his pain. I mean, it was just, I mean, I could really, you know, empathize with him. I mean, he's freaking broken. He's losing it. And, I mean, the portrayal was just,
John Shepherd was amazing. And
yeah, it was. I mean, yeah. That to me, and it seems like such a small part of that movie, and probably a part that a lot of people just kind of, you know, look past. But I mean, and that scene to me just was, in a nutshell, where Tommy was mentally at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and basically, you know, I'm gonna piggyback off that just a little bit with my favorite scene. Because it also involves the John Shepherd's portrayal of Tommy, and that's when he body slammed Eddie. And again, for much the same for much the same reason that Oz just chose his scene. I mean, because, you know, some of these scenes with him in it seem so, at least at the beginning, seem small, but, you know, you already know he's broken, but when he starts getting physical with people, you realize right then and there, like, oh shit, he's going to be a contender when the fucking time comes. He's going to put up a fight. He's fucking ready.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He didn't let us down like Rob did.
Well, I kind of feel like he did a little bit, you know,
he's killing me.
Well, at first
yeah.
At first, when they meet in the barn, he's kind of just sitting there dazed for a second, like,
here's my chest, slice it open.
Well, I think, you know, he was kind of remembering what he did when he shaved his head and tried to act like Jason or something. I'm not sure exactly what I feel like was going on in that moment, but
I felt like he was just kind of like paralyzed, that, you know, that he, you know, he, not necessarily by, he didn't really necessarily look like it was fear. It was something else.
A sense of readiness.
A sense of almost disbelief or I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe it was all those things put together. You know,
maybe he was trying to figure out, Jason, why the fuck do you have blue chevrons on your hockey mask? This can't be Jason. Maybe that's why he was saying Jason. Jason? Is it Jason?
Jason? That's not, I don't, Jason. Remember those.
There's no hatchet.
Guy's a great big phony.
Jason, I just don't remember.
Jason wouldn't get run over by a freaking tractor. He'd have sidestepped that shit.
You know what? And to give John Shepherd credit, the only person in that movie that, and those were the two stars, Jason and Tommy.
Oh no, not in part five, man. You got to give Pam some credit.
Oh well, yeah. Yeah.
Melanie, I was going to say, Jason's really not even in it very much.
But the only person to have fewer lines than John Shepherd is Jason.
Did Roy have more lines than John?
John Shepherd had 24 words.
I know, but I'm trying to think. Roy had, how many did he have? No, he had to have come in less than that. Only thing I can remember, you talking to me, Sheriff? Is that the only thing he said in the whole fucking movie?
I think it might have been.
I think that was his only line, to be honest with you.
All right, so favorite death.
I guess I got to go back to the scene from part four where Tommy kills Jason, and for the same reasons. I know that might seem come across as kind of lazy, but
yep.
I mean, I don't know what you want me to do, man.
I think redundant would be more.
Okay. Repetitive, maybe? I don't know.
Both. All three.
I don't know. I'm just, there's just something about that scene, man. I mean, either that or, I don't know, kind of when they killed Demon, that was kind of gross. I was kind of glad they did away with that. Jason put a stop to that. The enchiladas.
Straight out of enchiladas.
Put him in the shit box.
Yeah. Or maybe, I don't know, you could go with Joey too. That's inadvertently funny.
I mean, I could pick out a handful. I mean, when it comes to the final chapter, as any of our listeners know, that's mine and Oz's favorite movie in the entire Friday series. And so I mean, you've got a ton to pick from Jason's death to Rob's death to Crispin Glover's death to Judy Aronson's death. I mean, you have a lot to pick from. But if we're going off of just Jason deaths in the Jarvis trilogy, I don't think that anybody, save for Richard Brooker when he got hanged in part three, the way that Roy fell, I wish they would have actually shown him hitting. I mean, you don't need to see all the spikes going through him, but him falling and reaching, and I don't know, maybe I subconsciously have a fear of falling, but he didn't quite pull off a Brooker, but that scene,
not even close.
I mean, there's nothing else to compare it to. That's the closest comparison I can think of.
Yeah, well, the problem with that scene is that they just had the stuntman, and I'm pretty sure that was Morga. They just had him fall through frame. And then they had obviously a mannequin that was thrown onto the spikes. And yeah. I mean, it was just a really, for lack of a better term, it was just a poorly done effect.
Yeah, it was.
But speaking of more than a handful, I think one of my favorite deaths in all of it has got to be Tina.
I knew where that was going.
Yep.
Because, I mean, because you go from, I mean, and you got to remember, you know, at the age that I am when I'm watching this movie for the first time, I'm about 10 or 12 years old. And you go from the emotional high of saying, oh my God, look at those, to, oh, damn. with the hedge clippers and then I don't. You see a naked chick laying like that in the woods, I mean, killing her is the last thing I'm thinking. Go down to the stream and kill her boyfriend, and then, but not, I don't know. I
just, you know what? Cancel what I said about Roy, and I'm going to restate my favorite kill scene, because Paul's kill scene in part four fucking hurt me.
Yeah.
The spear got to the freaking Gickleberries. Yeah, that'll
got me in my parts.
That was pretty heinous.
That hurt.
You know, again, I'm gonna have to piggyback off of fucking Oz here. Tina from part five. That
you
kill
called
me for
lazy.
Me. I know, right? Hey, this shit is in my notes. I can show it to you. And I had no idea what you guys were gonna fucking pick. So shut up.
Because I told you I didn't need to write that shit down. I could just wing
I know,
it.
But I did. I wrote all this down earlier today. But yeah, not for the same reasons that Oz picked it, but I thought that was within the stretch of these films here, I thought that her death was one of the most brutal deaths. Garden cheers to the fucking eyeballs. Yeah. And I'm with Oz. If I see a girl like that laying in the fucking woods naked, the last thing I'm thinking about is killing her. And that's Roy, dude. That's not even Jason. That's a fucking dude. That's Roy.
Jason had never killed a Playboy bunny before.
No, he had not.
All right, so moving on. Favorite chase scene. And this is a category which I did not have originally, but Eric introduced right in the middle of our last sort of retrospective episode when we were talking about parts 1 through 4. So favorite chase scene, go for it.
All right. My favorite chase scene on these three has got to be, final chapter, Trish, Jason. I mean, I love the fact that she was trying to do the good thing to get her brother, trying to give her brother time to get away. So she runs out over to, the kid's house to try to get Jason away. Jason's chasing her. The stopping and the starting and everything, I think, was just, you really don't see that in any of the other movies. But when they get to that, you know, to the house, and she stops and you see Jason in that in the doorway, and the rain's just dripping down, and you just see the shadow, the silhouette of him. I mean, that's another one of those just chilling shot right there. But the fact that they're starting, they stop, and he keeps that, it just adds to the intensity of the chase, in my eyes. And
yeah,
I mean, yeah, I just thought that, and then she goes back. She jumps out the freaking window upstairs and takes, you know, the fall, and, you know, and then goes back over to the house, not knowing her brother's still there. And I mean, and all that. I mean, it's just, I don't know. To me, I mean, that's got to be the best chase scene. I mean, it could arguably be the best chase scene in the entire franchise.
I agree.
Yeah, I like that one too. I mean, she gives Jason hell in that fucking scene, dude.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, especially once they get back to her house, and after she splits his hand down the freaking
shit is gross, man.
Oh yeah, man. And then he's trying to get at her with that, and I mean, she gives him a machete to the freaking chest afterwards, and I mean, she's kicking the living shit out of him, you know, while he's trying to get to her and everything. I mean, man, I mean, yeah, she definitely gave Jason gave him the shit there.
And Trisha's veracity is captured on episode 29. If you go to campbloodpodcast.com/29, you'll hear Ted White tell a story about that very scene.
Yep. And no, it was not a real hammer.
Shut up. I was getting to John Wayne stance, damn it. It's called leading.
I really don't have another one. I mean, that would be the one I'd go with most likely. So what's that, 3 out of 4 now? That is, of course, unless Junior was actually chasing something when he was driving in circles. if he was chasing something, then I'll give it to that one. But otherwise, I got to go with the Trish scene.
He wasn't chasing. He was just driving. They heard me, by
Mark Sloan. That's his name, right? Mark Sloan.
Is that,
yeah,
is that his name?
Randy Quaid. I mean,
shitter's full.
That's why Jason was so pissed.
I mean, my favorite, I mean, all I'm going to do is copy off of Oz, since, I mean, Part 4, bar none, is my favorite. But I'm going to go with my least favorite. And that's luring Jason into the water. I mean, with precursors to Necronomicon and returning Jason back to Crystal Lake where he initially drowned, which I don't think so, even though Victor Miller said so. That was bar none my least favorite. I mean, there were parts of it that I liked. I liked him coming up out of the water. I mean, with it on fire, I don't know if that was just to help Tommy see or what.
It was so that the audience can, because otherwise.
Yeah, maybe.
Do you really think that spilling that gas like that in the lake and then trying to light it's going to light in a perfectly circular around?
It could. You could do that.
Oh, very easily.
You could do that.
Well,
it's not going to stay lit like it did in that.
No, not that long.
No, but it will stay lit in a circle. Tried it.
It'll dispense and then go out.
Yes. Don't try it at home. That is not a good idea.
Yay,
science. Well, I mean, if you're going to light fires at home and you're doing it in the water, I mean,
okay,
you know, maybe you could try it at home. Just maybe not in your bathtub.
That's what I was going to say.
If you have a swimming pool in your backyard, go and just start off with a small circle. You know,
yeah.
about 6 inches in diameter. Let's see if you can get that to work. No need to do a whole, you know, thing like that. Safety first, guys.
Pixar didn't happen, is all I'll say. So I guess I'm going to be the one to break with everybody else and say Part 5. I really like the final chase scene in that, especially with Pam and Reggie. My favorite part of that whole chasing, as I've said before, was the, you know, when Pam hid in that little tool closet inside the barn, And then she lured Jason by making noise over to her hiding spot and then fucking comes out chainsaw ablazing. And I'm pretty sure I used that exact verbiage the last time I described this scene.
I think the sound, though, I think that was inadvertent. I don't think she was trying to.
I wonder if that's a real chainsaw.
No. She had to have because Jason had or Roy had noticed Reggie, and then she made the fucking noise so he'd get his attention away from Reggie and
He didn't notice Reggie till they got up in the hayloft.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Yeah, yes. I'm pretty sure that's the way it went down.
Well, fuck you guys. I still like that scene.
Screw you guys. I'm going home.
You know what? A lot of the reasons that I like the chase scene in part five too is because I think it mirrors a lot of the chase scene in part four.
I agree.
I think it's very similar. I mean, it's not exact, obviously. I think it's a really cool mashup between part four and part three. They put the barn for part three, and then it kind of mashed it up with some things that worked really good at the end in the chase scene in part four.
I mean, the initial pop-up scare where we see Jason Roy for the first time when he pops up behind the police car and Reggie screams his shrill scream for the first time.
His Reggie scream?
Yes, his Reggie scream. And I mean, from there on out, I mean, it's just like part four, part three. I mean, power's out, storm's a-blazing. I nicked that from Chris. And,
and it's all right, man. You can have it.
And I mean, you know, we got a very continuous chase scene, not something that was so much like part six that was all broken up and all over the place. And we didn't have a clue. I mean, initially, whenever they got to the barn in part five, we still didn't know if that wasn't Tommy or not. I mean,
yeah, well,
he shows up saying Jason gets macheted across the chest because that didn't work with Roy.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough.
The only problem I have with that chase scene is, did anybody else think it was pretty stupid to have Pam grabbing an axe handle with no axe on it and think, hey, you know, I'm going to take this guy out with freaking big stick?
No, an axe handle is a very effective weapon.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's like, light and hard.
Especially if you can, especially.
Oh, God. Shut up, you fucks.
Damn, son.
I didn't say nothing. I didn't say shit. Yeah, I agree with Eric here, minus the innuendo. That an axe handle, man. Like I could fucking do some damage to somebody with just that, especially considering that Roy is not a fucking supernatural undead killer.
Well, I know, but she smacks him in the back with it, and he just turns around like, "Are you fucking kidding me?"
Yeah, because he's on speed.
Yes.
Why? Yeah. That's
how I explain how Roy fucking got through that night.
Well, and that's I had brought that up in a previous episode. So I mean, yeah, I guess that I could see that.
Maybe the axe handle didn't fuck with him because he took all of Billy's shit after he offed him. All the shit he had in the car, he took all that, and he was like, "Oh man,
yeah, that's actually not bad."
No,
yeah, I could see that actually.
Amen.
That makes sense with our theory that Roy was on some kind of speed.
There you go.
So yeah,
he flurries up his hockey mask nose hole.
maybe Roy was. Was Billy's dealer?
Maybe, man. Who knows?
That too.
He owed him some money. and that's why he killed him off.
Fuck you, pay me.
Oh, yes.
You're waiting on Lana? Fuck you, pay me.
Half hour with Lana or give me your blow, one or the other. We're both.
And, I mean, you know, it. None of us, I don't think, I mean, can really enjoy part six. I mean, it's just
no. I don't have as much of a problem with it as you guys. Now, granted, I did say previous to this episode that part six had the worst Tommy and it had the worst storyline in the in the whole series except for Jason Goes to Hell, in my opinion. However, I can still find I can still sit down and watch it without cringing a whole lot, all the way up, at least until the end. Like, the end is where I have the major fucking problems with that movie.
Part six is, it's better than seven. It's better than eight. It's better than nine.
No.
Yeah. I
better than nine.
Better than nine. Better than eight.
Better than nine.
Still
is
better than seven.
An 88-minute long blank screen would be better than nine.
All right. So our next category, favorite Jason. And I'm pretty sure I know what everybody's pick is going to be, but let's just hear it out. On a count of three. One, two, three.
Ted White.
Yeah, I mean, I said it earlier. I mean, if he's my favorite Jason in the entire franchise, then chances are he's going to be my favorite Jason in the Jarvis trilogy.
You never know. You might want to be different.
You could have went C.G. Graham.
No.
But, I mean, Graham didn't even play Jason all the way through in part six. I mean, they had that chubby-ass dude playing Jason for a while. And I mean,
hey, man, calm down.
What? Hey, I'm...
Don't pick on the chubby guys, all right?
Hey, it's hard to do. I'm just making an observation. I mean, I'm chubbier than that fucker, dude.
All right, well, that was a short segment. Let's move on to our favorite final girl. And I guess Tommy can count in this category, too.
Does Reggie count, too?
He did scream like a girl, so yes, sure. Did.
But, you know, Kimberly Beck was awesome, but I've got all the love in the world for Miss Melanie Kinman.
Yep.
Boom.
I mean, Pam was fucking awesome.
I agree. Melanie Kinman as Pam is my favorite one. I like the chemistry between her and Reggie and just everything, like the chainsaw, everything we've mentioned before. She was great in that movie.
Yeah, which is weird that you guys would say that. And I don't know what Oz is going to say, but I'm going to interject here for just a second. Given all of you guys have said about the end of the final chapter, it's weird to me that either one of you picked Pam. To be honest with you,
well, I just like their character.
I mean, my personal favorite is Kim Beck, but I mean, I do like. I mean, Pam was great. I mean, for all the reasons you guys mentioned, and I will say one thing that I think mental. I mean, she's going through the most of all any of the final girls, Kimberly or you know, Tommy and Jennifer Cook or in part six. I mean, she's going through the most. I mean, in part four, Trish is trying to deal with Jason and trying to protect her brother. In part five, Trish is trying to protect. She's trying to deal with Roy and protect Reggie. And at the same time, she's also trying to, you know, trying to help Tommy at the same time. So, you know, to me, she's like, you know, juggling more and dealing with more at the end of the film than the other two.
Well, I think, like I said in our last, you know, the Human Jason wrap up, you got one look at Trish and seeing her character, and you just kind of knew, okay, she is going to be able to deal with a lot. You know, she's going to be able to deal with shit that gets thrown at her. But with Pam, for me, and she's, by the way, she's my favorite final girl out of this section too. You know, she reminded me a little bit of Amy Steele's character in part two. Like she's sweet. She's real sweet. And I may not have felt exactly the same way about her as I did Jenny, given the way that she is portrayed earlier in the film. You almost kind of think going into the final scene that, you know what, Pam might not be able to fucking, come up with this win here.
Well, yeah, you don't know that she's going to make it. And that's the thing with Trish in part four. I mean, from early on, you kind of get an idea. Okay, she's going to be the final girl because she's the wholesome one. She's not skinny dipping with the other kids. She's not hooking up with any. She's not smoking dope. She's not drinking. She's not doing any of this. So she's got to be the final girl. I mean, you pretty much, you know, or at least I did. I kind of figured that early on. In part five, you really don't know.
Yeah, well, sure. I mean, but for me, like, I don't even know what I'm trying to say right now. And I already said this and that other episode. But, you know, getting to know Trish throughout part four, you just kind of got the idea that she's got her shit together. She know, you know, if she is in fact the final girl, which, like you said, we pretty much knew that she was going to be the one. You kind of had a feeling that she would be able to survive. But with Pam, I had totally different feelings about Pam going into the final chase scene, you know, the first time that I saw the film. I was not sure that Pam would live through it, especially considering that Tommy was like the main protagonist of well, even though he didn't have but fucking, what is it, 24 words or lines? I mean, so I was not sure that Pam would even be able to survive. But especially with that scene that I've already talked about where she comes out with the chainsaw, like after that, I was like, oh, shit, she is bringing it to Jason.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and I totally agree. I mean, you did kind of think, you know, oh, man, it's going to suck if she gets killed. But at the same time, had she gotten killed, I would have expected that to have the same effect sort of that the Rob character did, where she would have been the person that when they get killed, nobody would have been clapping.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
She would have been the one where everybody would have been like, oh, man.
Yeah, I could see that. But, that's a good point.
You know, talking with you guys about this now and the way that Tommy came into the barn after Reggie had hit Roy or Jason with the backhoe, and Pam didn't know what to do, and that could have predated what took the late great Wes Craven an additional 10 years to come up with, was that scream moment where there's multiple killers coming in right there, and Pam, being a psychologist, would have been able to manipulate Tommy based upon his psyche. Do you guys know?
Well,
what,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
You would have sort of think that Pam would have showed a little bit more of that in the film. Actually, now that you say that, because that's not a terrible point that you just made. Given her job, you would have thought that maybe she would have treated the situation more like Jenny did.
Right. Right.
Which is, like I said, why when that chase scene started, like, I had no idea if Pam was going to live through it or not, especially with Tommy being billed as the main character. It would have not surprised me at all had she not made it through, really. Like Oz said, you know, if she would have been just another Rob character, it would have been fine with me because it would have made total fucking sense to me, given the set of circumstances that she was in, like you said, dealing, you know, trying to protect Reggie and also trying to help Tommy at the same time. She did have a lot of shit going on, while also trying to fend off Jason or I can't even say Jason, Roy. So yeah, that's not a bad point, Eric, actually. All right. So we didn't really have any listener mail this time, but I did want to read an iTunes review we got recently, which right. happens to, yeah, which happens to come from
Jim Elliott.
No, not this time.
Fuck you, Jim Elliott.
Fuck off, Jim Elliott.
Yeah, fuck you, Bo. It happens to come from one of the guys who put us over the top for getting an ad-free show. So thank you, sir. And you will hear from him soon because he paid enough to be on the show, actually. So, nice. Yeah, you'll be hearing.
Look it up,
yeah,
man.
Sweet.
Yeah, no shit.
Thank
yeah, he paid the highest rung. He's at the highest rung that we offer.
Oh,
at,
wow.
Yeah, so it's cool. Scar Matt.
Eric's panties will be in the mail to you.
Yes. Dirty.
Oh, man, I didn't go that far.
Vacuum sealed.
Just lost the listener.
So that the aroma.
The OD poomf.
What
I'm sure
fuck?
I'm sure he's gonna love this. Scarmatix gave us a 5-star. He said, "Love this podcast. Brand new listener, have been binge listening for 3 days and can't get enough. Has laughs, great theories and ideas, and great guests. A must listen for any type of Friday the 13th fan." Thank you, sir, because you know we get some dickholes, Jim Elliott, that act like we don't do a good job here.
We put our blood, sweat, and tears into this show, and I'm proud to say that. I love
That's
it.
For damn sure. I wish you guys could like hear our conversations offline, because E's not really a part of those conversations much, because you know
the
he's working
nature
on
of the
still
beast.
Working for Uncle Sam, so he's
yeah. So you know it's understandable. But Soon. we have so many conversations about this show, about
daily.
The direction we're going to take it. Yeah, daily, about the direction it's going. You know, there have been some times where a couple of us have wanted to just fucking stop doing it because of shit going on in our personal lives.
What?
But no, I'm not kidding. No. I personally have talked about doing it, about just quitting. I'm not going to. I'll just say that. But when I fucking read shit like this, it just brings it all back. Like, hey, dickhead, there's people fucking digging what you're doing. So just quit bitching and just fucking get it done.
Yep. Amen. Amen.
There's a lot more people giving us love than are giving us, you know, hate. So
that's the truth. Eat a dick.
Fuck off.
Yes.
I'm sure you don't have to tell him to do that, Eric.
So thank you, sir, for making us ad free. I really was getting tired of reading that whole thing, so thanks.
We apologize for mentioning you in the same like segment with with Jim Elliott and the dicks too. Sorry.
All right, gentlemen, final thoughts on the Jarvis trilogy.
I think this is, and most people probably agree, that this is like the best part of the franchise, because it had the best storyline and everything. You know, it was just something to actually follow. And I really wish, like right now with them trying to, you know, revive the franchise and everything, or bring it back around, I kind of wish they would find somebody to take on that role again. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Corey Feldman.
Well, maybe even Corey Feldman.
Well, yeah, I mean, because it just seemed like Tommy Jarvis just kind of dropped off the face of the earth. I mean, there was no closure. Mm-hmm. There was no, you know, there's unfinished business there, you know?
Yeah. It's like I said in our Tommy versus Jason episode, like, yeah, we consider this the Jarvis trilogy, but really, there's no closure to the trilogy at all.
Nope.
No, there's not.
And like I said in our last episode, I think for me, the only way that you get closure from this trilogy is if fucking Tommy dies in part six.
Right. Or if Tommy really, I thought about this too, Tommy could have really lost it and gone on a killing spree himself and then been killed in the process.
Yeah, but I don't think that would close out the trilogy though, to be honest. I think he would have to die fighting Jason for that to happen
I think that would be the best ending. I agree.
Yes.
Me personally, and I'm going to go to our favorite episode. So, and not even talking about it though, but if Tommy Jarvis had eaten the heart of Jason instead of a lab doctor, I actually probably could have watched that. And if Tommy Jarvis personified Jason and went on a killing spree, and
it still would have sucked.
Yes, it would have. But but I mean, in one way or another, Tommy either has to die as the new killer, or he has to die trying to kill Jason.
I think he needs to die as a hero. He needs to sacrifice himself to stop Jason to save someone else.
You know, yeah.
that's the best.
That's how you close out
case
Tommy's
scenario
story.
To close out Tommy's. Yeah. Yeah.
Agreed.
You know, maybe he was wrong about the water, taking him back to the water. And he's actually the conduit by which Jason gets his strength, because he was the last to kill him as his human vestige. And maybe that's Tommy needs to die before Jason can die.
All right, as always, please rate, review, and subscribe wherever the fuck you listen to the show at. If you want to support the show financially, head over to campbloodpodcast.com/donate. Send your questions and theories to our Facebook page, tweet at Camp Blood Pod, or send an email to feedback@campbloodpodcast.com. You can also text or leave us a voicemail at 757 757- 637-0216. And please consider checking out some of the other shows on the Tangent Bound Network, like the network's flagship show, The Tangent Bound Podcast, Astro Radio Z, or Bloodlust. You can find these shows and many, many more at tangentboundnetwork.com. Special thanks goes out to the Downriver Rat for our intro and outro music. You can check his shit out at thedownriverrat.com. Until next time.